I wonder if you've noticed how often in the Bible a mysterious sleep becomes the event of an overwhelming experience of the divine. In the book of Genesis, the Lord God caused Adam to fall into a deep slumber when God formed Eve from Adam's rib. In another mysterious dream at sunset that we heard in today's first reading, the Lord revealed to a childless and very elderly Abraham that one day his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the heavens. At Bethel, in a numinous and wondrous sleep, Jacob saw a sacred ladder uniting heaven and earth with the angels of God ascending and descending. In the Psalms, David, the sweet poet of Israel, meditatively chants about musing about God in the nighttime, about remembering God even when sleeping, and about sleeping but with his heart awake. In Solomon's rapturous Song of Songs, the maiden sleeps, but her heart is awake. And even in her slumber, she hears the beloved knocking at the door of her chamber. In the Gospel of Luke, good Saint Joseph, the greatest and last of all the patriarchs, has an important and revelatory dreams when he is told to take Mary as his wife, when he is told to flee into Egypt and later to return from Egypt and to settle in Nazareth of Galilee. In the Garden of Gethsemane, on the night before the Lord suffered and died, Peter, James, and John simply seem unable to stay awake despite the Lord's entreaties. And just some weeks before, as recorded in today's Gospel according to Luke, on Mount Tabor, on that hill, shrouded in deepest mystery, enveloped in a luminous cloud, as once had happened on Mount Sinai, Peter, James, and John fell into something like a stupor when those disciples perceived the glory of the Lord. They entered into a kind of ecstasy, a kind of deep rapture, in an overwhelming experience of the mysterious and the tremendous. For Peter, James, and John, on the mount and later in the garden, these were inexplicable moments that could never be entirely measured in the limited faculties of human apprehension. Christ, both in the super resplendent light of Tabor and in the mystery of his agony, was revealing the endless glory of the invisible God made visible. On Mount Tabor, when the splendor of the Lord's divinity shone through his humanity, it must have been something like a misty, cloudy atmosphere suddenly illuminated by a blazing sun. For the light of Christ eclipses the visible sun, because Christ is a sun that never sets. You know, his uncreated glory has countless names, or in another sense, it has no adequate names, or, as is confessed in our creed, Jesus Christ is God from God, light from light, true God from true God. When the divinity of Jesus was revealed on Mount Tabor, his face shone like the sun. The very clothes he wore became dazzling white. This awesome experience introduced that terrifying dread of an inexhaustible, finally indescribable divine truth. Even those who, according to the scriptures, were closest to Jesus could not bear the radiance of his Godhead. They saw Jesus conversing with Moses and Elijah as both the law and the prophets gave testimony to his divinity. In his sheer amazement, Peter cried out, "It is good for us to be here." Then he began to babble about erecting three tents as if such incandescent light needed shelter or could ever be contained. But then the voice of God proclaimed, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." This was an exalted episode granted them on Mount Tabor to strengthen their faith in the face of the approaching scandal of Mount Calvary. Did it last an eternity or just an instant? Only when God ceased speaking did their world suddenly fall back into its ordinary framework of space and time. They no longer saw anyone but Jesus alone. Today's appointed Transfiguration Gospel seems particularly appropriate for this, the second Sunday of our Lenten pilgrimage as we journey to Easter. Last Sunday afternoon and this Sunday afternoon, even this great cathedral is simply not large enough for a single celebration of the Lenten rites of election. Those seeking to be baptized, those seeking full communion with God's holy Roman Catholic Church, entirely fill this place with their faith. Much to the amazement of pagan America, and despite the malice and cynicism of the media, men and women still hunger for the Lord, still seek the Lord, still find the Lord within the community of the faithful. It is the invisible splendor of God that shines through visible realities of our worship, our praise and thanks, our prayer and devotion, of the church's service to the sick and the poor, of the apostolate of education for the young, of comfort and fellowship for the old, of living faith and evangelizing witness, and of an unshakable commitment to the defense of all human life from conception until natural death. Through the perspective of the eyes of faith, God's holy church continues to manifest extraordinary gifts of grace. Perennially, Lent challenges both new Christians and cradle Catholics to let their faith shine out for the whole world to see. As St. Paul encourages us in today's second reading to the Philippians, our citizenship is in heaven, and from heaven we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will change our lowly body to conform with his glorified body by the power that enables him to also bring all things into subjection to himself. Stand firm in the Lord. The holy sacrifice of the Mass is, of course, the light and transforming glory of the Catholic Church. Every time the Church is assembled before the altar of God, all of us are called by God to be transfigured. At Mass, the voice of God in the Scriptures continues to proclaim the truth, and the Lord's one perfect sacrifice on the cross is renewed and made present. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, ordinary bread and wine become the body and blood, the soul and divinity of our victorious Savior. This is a wondrous mystery. This is an awesome truth. This is the pure and perfect sacrifice faithfully offered and faithfully proclaimed from the rising of the sun even to its setting. As one of the Psalms celebrate, God is exalted among the nations. God is exalted over the earth. Be still and know that I am God. Remember at the end of today's gospel, the disciples come awake and they saw no one but Jesus alone. At the end of this Mass and at the conclusion of every Mass, we come down from the mountaintop, from the experience of mystery and awe, and leave this privileged time we share together. But may we never leave the company of Jesus Christ. May we see Jesus alone as our teacher, our guide, our redeemer, the foundation of the universal church, and the deepest love of our lives. May we welcome Jesus always into our hearts and into our families. As the Father commanded, may we listen to Jesus as the inspiration for everything we do and for all our works of service. May we always see Jesus as the sun that never sets, the light of a transfigured life that begins now, but lasts forever and ever.